Stream your favorite shows on ESPN975.com.
It's really quite simple.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Alive and well, kicking it through a Thursday in the big city. Hopefully you're having a great day and a great week as we have covered a lot of bases. We've got two Skeeters ticket giveaways coming up in the next 60 minutes. So at some point, twice during the next hour, we are going to give you chances to win Skeeters tickets for Friday night and then again over the weekend on Sunday. And keep in mind, much like the Astros, Friday night includes fireworks. I may or may not be there with my family.
Oh, really?
Yes. Cool. Taylor wants to see fireworks, so we may do the game and a little fireworks.
There you go. Nice. So if you're a suspect, go up to Joel and give him a massive hug.
That's right.
I'm not a germaphobe.
And
I'll
a kiss
be fine.
On the cheek.
No kiss on the cheek.
No. No, what you do is you rub the top of his head. He likes that.
I will teach Taylor how to kick people in the nuts.
Okay.
By the way, I can see Taylor doing just the full open fist right at somebody's grapes.
If you're texting the show, correcting any of us and how we speak, just know that we don't care.
Nope.
I'm not even going to mention what it is or who said it or what. Just know that we don't care. Stop trying to be a school teacher. You listen to the radio. Don't correct the way we speak. Okay,
it's not correct Barry Spelling on Twitter.
No, don't do that either. But I'm just saying, and I'm not saying you listen to the radio. I'm just saying you're not. Don't correct what we're saying. That's I don't know. That
it
doesn't
was being
make
corrected.
Sense.
Was it me?
I digress. 98% of the time, I'm on Team Barry. However, finally, I agree with Joel. Springling it is.
Why can't you 100%, first and foremost, just be a fan of the suspects and not break it down? But the fact that you finally came to your senses and came over to the right side is fine with me.
Barry really wanted to read the 98%.
Right in the middle of the show, as they always
They died?
Do. You know, no big deal.
It's once a week.
You can't hear me now.
Just over here flying.
Yeah, once a week they
naked.
At a comedy club?
No, not at a comedy club. Somebody said if I was a comedian, I would carry a gun if that happens. No, you can't. You got to remember, you can't take a weapon into a place whose money comes from 50% alcohol sales.
With alcohol,
sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, trust me, I would go on stage with my gun.
You know, a lot of people don't listen to that rule, right?
Of course I do. And I do know comics that do have their gun with them on stage.
Yeah. But here's my thing.
I'm not one of them, though. I just want to point out.
We bring it back
to... You just bring it to the studio.
We bring it back to the NBA conversation.
We don't sell food or drink here. So, yes, I do bring it to the studio.
We bring our conversation back to courtside seats at NBA games and such, right?
Uh-huh.
There's security on the bench. There's security all around the court and throughout the building. It's different at a comedy club, right? I mean, who's going to take the time to go, hey, what do we got for security tonight? Where are they? I'm sure you don't sit there with all the things you got going on and start to worry about, like, what are the parameters? Who's doing security? How are they going to handle
at
this
a show?
Or that? Yeah, do you
oh,
do
no.
that?
No, hell no.
That's what I'm saying. So it's way different than an NBA game from that aspect, too, because essentially you're on your own hoping that someone from the club can help you out.
Because it costs so much for security that comedy clubs really can't afford, unless they're like an amazing, just balling out of control comedy club. A lot of them don't have
it. Or the owner's a big dude.
No. I've never seen a club with security. Some clubs have a doorman, and some clubs the manager is the doorman, and the manager's busy and doesn't care. And
How about no cops, right? Because that's expensive.
Never cops.
That's expensive.
Never cops or security. There's always a doorman slash kind of bouncer. Well, I say always. There's sometimes it's a female, though. Now, I don't know, you know, some of them know boxing or martial arts or whatever, but a lot of times it's a female. But there are clubs that I work that do have, like the OKC club that I work, will have two or three guys in the room the whole time. And boy, they're strict. If you even start to talk, like, hey, final warning, you're like, holy crap.
Well, that's
okay.
Nice.
That's great for you.
As comics and the rest of the crowd, we love it. That kind of thing would have never happened in that club. Like, no one's rushing the stage at that particular spot. But there are clubs where they don't even pay attention. Like, that when I was telling you the story when I was featured for Kid from Kid and Play, Chris Reed, and that chick threw the money at him. Did I tell you all that story?
I do not think you did.
Really? So we were in Dallas, and he was on stage, and this girl was up front wadding up these dollar bills, right? And I didn't even see it going on, but I went back. I was recording our set, so I went back and watched it. But she was getting dollars from all of her friends and people around her, and she's wadding up all these ones. And he's on stage, and he's doing his set, and he's telling jokes. And she has this handful of wadded up dollars and throws it at him.
Oh.
Like a stripper or wow. like a street performer. Like he's just some schlub that she can just throw money at. I mean, you talk about the epitome of rudeness. And so he goes, yo, why did you do that? And she was like, no. And she was hammered drunk. And he was like, yo, that was so disrespectful. Why would you ever think that it would be okay to throw money at me? She's like, do a joke. He's like, bitch, I've been doing jokes. Like, why are you being so disrespectful? And he picks up the ones and he starts throwing them back at her. And he's got like, and he throws. And so, I would have done the same exact thing. I mean, it's a dollar. You're not going to hurt right. anyone, but it's like, you're not going to disrespect me and get away with it.
I would have gone too far.
See, I probably would have,
I
would have
picked up a drink and just spilt it on her.
Poured it on her face.
Yeah.
See, I would have fought that urge or something similar. But he just threw the ones back at her, and her boyfriend is sitting next to her. And I was like, oh, okay. Now that he's done that. So there was another comic that was kind of new. He was hosting. And I said, hey, you need to come over here with me. And we both walked over to where they were and stood about four tables back. Because at the end of the day, and I know this sounds kind of corny, but at the end of the day, all it really is us comedians and the crowd.
You against the world.
It's like, it's just an unwritten rule that if a comic that you're on a show with gets in a fight, even if you don't know him, you're in the fight. That's just how we look at it. I mean, that's just how it's supposed to be because there's no protection for us at all from somebody that rushes the stage or does anything. So it's all. And so I told him, I was like, bro, get ready. He goes, why? I was like, because if that dude rushes the stage, we're rushing that dude.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? I was like, absolutely. Are you kidding?
And he kind of. You'd want the same from anybody else.
He didn't really. He like stood off to the side. I was ready. I was like, no, this ain't. It's not going to happen. But he was like a little tentative about it. I'm like,
essentially,
if you were on stage, you would want the same thing.
It's messing with your bread and butter, too. Because at the end of the day, all it's going to take, I hate to say this, but and it's different, obviously, when we talk about the foul balls in baseball. But all it's going to take is one or two episodes where someone doesn't respectfully just go to a show and handle their business correctly.
Right.
For it to be a deal. And then it's going to end up taking money out of y'all's pockets
yep.
because it's going to be paying security or having to do things differently or you don't get to be that close to the performers. And it could be a big deal.
Yeah. There's that always that possibility, I guess. But yeah, it's crazy, man. It can get wild. Anytime there's, and I would venture to say that at least 50 to 60% of the time, those people that act out or rush the stage or do those things wouldn't be doing them if they weren't drunk or drinking.
Absolutely.
Because most people aren't like that. It's just when alcohol gets involved, some people can't handle their alcohol and they act like idiots. Real quick on the text line, because I know we're going to do a giveaway or whatever, but Mito said, I'm a suspect and I won my tickets on the Charlie Polillo show. Do I get a shirt? No.
That's right.
You don't. I'm sorry. He said, I can prove it. I'll take a quiz. No, I'm sorry, Mito. You had to have won them on our show. That's what we were told anyway.
Yeah. If you want to negotiate, don't negotiate with us.
Right. Again, out of our control.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so with that being said, we gave away the listener appreciation tickets in hour number two. Hour number three is Skeeter's time. So this will be the first of the two giveaways that we're going to give away to you. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you to the Sugarland Skeeter's game this Friday night. This is for Friday tickets against the Lancaster Barnstormers. They're celebrating eco-friendliness with Go Green Night, featuring a metal straw giveaway for the first 1,000 fans. A metal straw giveaway. Okay.
Friday being tomorrow, right?
That would be tomorrow.
Correct.
Day after Thursday, day before
Good
Saturday.
Good job, buddy.
Nick, 2-2 together, baby. Quick, 2-2.
I'm not playing these games.
Okay. Free parking for the eco-friendly cars and a green-themed post-game fireworks show, all courtesy of Constellation. Caller number 11 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 11, a family four-pack to the game. Sugarland Skeeters, this Friday night, check it out, because I'm telling you, Constellation Field is a really cool venue. For tickets and game information, if you don't win, head to sugarlandskeeters.com. And with that, we'll do the giveaway while we're having the break. We'll come back and have much more of the show and another giveaway in the second half hour. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. What the? I'm going to use the Lombardi quote, Nick, and you know I don't use it all the time, but when I do, there's good reason. What the hell is going on around here? Barry is shrinking.
What the hell happened?
He's going down by the second. His chair is just taking him under the console. It's like he's Sarah Donchi in an earthquake.
Let's be specific about what's shrinking. My chair.
Your weight caught up with the chair.
Oh, you bastard.
Ruined the chair. The only chair that you like.
You bastard.
And you broke it. I like that chair because I look small when I'm sitting in the chair that Joel uses.
Well, right now.
And short.
I was microphone level.
That's why no one can hear you.
I don't know what happened. This is weird.
Little Barry. Little spring-a-ling.
I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm trying to fix my chair.
Now, will it hold?
A little
spring-a-ling. Well, we heard that, Nicholas.
Yeah, we heard that, totally Nick. Heard that. You're trying to isolate. That's fine. A little spring-a-ling, spring-a-ding, spring-a-ling.
No, I was just trying to get a picture of you looking like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it didn't work.
All right. Oh, well, good.
Okay, so we got that, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Then, this Kelly Eco, okay? Mr. Ecosystem, Mr. The Athletic, you know? Used to be our guy, and now he's big time. But that's fine. He's in the office. I haven't seen him in a while. But we go to break. I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick. So I am going out to the bathroom, Nicholas. I know you can appreciate that. Kelly's like, hey, Joel. Hey, Joel. Hey, Joel. And I'm like, okay, Kelly, be right back. So I go out the door. I open the bathroom door. I am now in the bathroom. There's also a guy from down the hall that's coming into the bathroom. You know what Kelly does? He walks in the bathroom and goes, hey, Joel, is that place you were talking about on Main Street? I'm not talking to you. I am not answering. I'm not talking to you. What the hell are you doing that's so important you had to talk to me while I'm in the restroom? And I just walk back out and I go, what are you doing? He's at his desk. I go, what are you doing trying to follow me in the bathroom to talk to me? And he's like, well, I mean, I was going to wait outside. I go, what changed your mind? You got other people in there and you want to have a full-blown conversation in a toilet?
And that's why y'all think I'm an a-hole when I don't want nobody in this room, because they don't know when to interject at all, ever.
It's common sense. If a guy's going to the restroom, it can wait.
So then.
Yeah, and this is the good part, too.
So I go in.
As I'm washing my hands.
Because I have to go. I open the door. I go right to the urinal. Joel's coming out of the stall.
You acknowledge me.
And he goes, can you believe Kelly Eco came in here trying to talk to me? I mean, who goes into the bathroom and tries to hold a conversation with somebody? That's just, I was like, what's going on? And I'm like, you right now are trying to hold. He goes, good point.
Yeah, and I walked out. He was right.
Like, wait,
but I had
what?
A purpose in there.
What just happened?
But I had a purpose in
we
there.
All
I
had
was
a
in
purpose.
There with a purpose. He came in just to converse.
Well, do you have your Instagram out?
I do, actually.
Get your Instagram out. If you're listening, get your Instagrams out. It's time for, I feel like we do this once a week. Like, this should just be a segment.
Instagram girl of the week.
Yeah. All right. If you have your Instagrams out, Jasmine Harvey, and it's, J-A-S-M-I-N 3 underscore N-I-C-H OL3. So Jasmine 3, Nicole 3, or Jasmine, the threes
Jasmine
are
Jasmine 3 underscore Nicole 3.
Yes. I guess her name is Jasmine Harvey. Not too shabby. Mm-hmm. Not too shabby at all. So,
not a big fan of the rib tattoo, but.
No?
No.
I'm not a big tattoo guy, but.
Me either.
The rib tattoo is kind of hot. You don't like a rib tattoo? What is that?
Holly Saunders.
Oh.
Just popped up doing a full catcher's position with just.
If Joel ever gets arrested, it's going to be for stalking Holly Saunders.
Not true.
Yeah. He's obsessed.
He mentions Holly.
Anytime an Instagram, I give y'all an Instagram model to go check out because she's
it
hot.
It pops up.
Immediately, stop. More than that, pops up.
Why did you?
You scared the hell out of me too.
Oh, I just got it. It's my bad.
Don't forget, we got Skeeter's tickets to give away for Sunday coming up between now and the end of the show. So there's that. For those of you that are paying attention, I'm going to also have to go down the hall and figure out what the hell Kelly wanted.
Oh,
speaking
gosh.
Of that, he's probably covering.
Did you complete the conversation in the bathroom?
No, I wasn't. I was so no, and then I went to the desk and like, what are you doing? And then he was so embarrassed that like he couldn't say another word. I go, I guess I'll come back to find out what it is that was so important that couldn't wait.
Yeah, meet him in the bathroom.
No, because I'm not going back in there.
Oh.
But I would assume that since he only now in the off season from covering Rockets, I would assume he's on the trail. I saw him put out some things today, and he is a good follow at Kelly Eco on IKO on Twitter about the fact that there was no love lost between Melo and Westbrook.
Of course.
And he highlighted all that when the Rockets played the Thunder with Westbrook and Melo, he put that on there. And then, of course, there's the quote today of Daryl Morey on the Rich Eisen show where he said there's six teams in the West that are really, really strong, I think, and it's going to be a war, and I think it's going to be fun. And Rich Eisen says, where do you see you guys fitting into that? And he said first, 100%.
Did he really? Well, what do you expect him to say? Yeah, we're probably fifth. He put this team together. It's not like he's going to be like, well, we're all right.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, people who work for the team, I give a little bit more slack to when it comes down to being positive about the team. Not too much, but definitely a lot more. It's the bloggers and everybody else that don't.
Yeah, no, and I get that. But, I mean, look, the other thing you got to keep in mind in Daryl's defense is he's been fined more than just about any person ever in the history of the NBA. And he knows the rules are, and we go back to the Magic Johnson deal when he was kiddingly courting Paul George when he was on Jimmy Kimmel or whatever.
He wasn't really courting him, was he? Just mentioned him. He's a good player.
I think it's a pretty big fine. But anyway,
yeah.
I think because of that, too, Daryl's not going to go into details on any of the other teams. But I think that, you know, he's a master spinner, and we know that he's got coach speak down to a science. And with that, of course he's going to say his team is going to be first 100%, as every general manager should.
Well, okay.
Well, not every
manager. Well, unless you know you're going to the lottery.
Well, every general manager that knows they have a legitimate chance. Like, everybody knows, whether you think they have enough depth or not at this point, that they have a legitimate chance. Most people will put the Rockets top four, top five right now. But if you're like a team that clearly doesn't have the talent and you've been hovering around the 8 or 7 or 9 spot for the past two seasons, yeah, maybe you're not going to say that.
If they ask the Kings.
Vlade Divac.
Yeah. He's not going to be like, oh, we're number one. Now, here's the difference, though, is you can say, well, we're number one, and I don't knock Daryl Morey for doing that, but I think there's a much more humble way to approach that. Like, you could say, hey, look, there's a lot of challenges in the West. The Clippers are good. The Lakers are good now. You know, Portland's always a contender. The Jazz. You basically mention all the top teams that you're grouped with, and you say, but we feel like we're among the best. We feel like we have a chance to beat any of those teams in a 7-game series. That's a great way to say we think we're good, but you don't have to come out, oh, we're number one. I mean, you don't have to do that, and I don't fault him for doing it, but there's a not so ego driven way of answering that. That makes sense.
Yeah, the short version of that would be, I think it's wide open. I think there's been a lot of changes in the league. I think everybody's got to stay healthy. But if we do, we like our chances against anybody.
Exactly. I'm totally with you.
And that
he probably could have said that
a little bit more.
We're number one. A little different.
first 100%.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, look around the league, Chief.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that percentage rate.
Now watch them win the title and be like, damn.
I give them a chance. Literally, they're in the conversation. But again, we don't even know how they're going to play. And that's why I said, when you look at all these teams.
Well, you don't know how any of these teams are going to play. Let's be real.
How's Portland going to be getting Nurkic back with the guys they've added? How are these guys going to mesh in L.A. in both L.A. situations?
Exactly.
You know, you could keep going around the horn and going, pretty much, that's what I'm saying. It's wide open because so many teams went through change.
Well, so many of the newer good teams, quote-unquote.
Literally.
But the Jazz didn't have a lot of turnover or change.
They did.
But they didn't. Not their
they
core.
They got rid of Favors. But they got rid of Rubio. They're trying to implement Mike Conley Jr.
Oh, that's true.
What I'm saying.
Conley Jr.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And they got Bogdanovich.
Denver, though, didn't have much turnover or change. And Portland really didn't.
Portland's got to get Nurkic back.
Yeah, but they played with him.
Team
they
when
knew.
They get him back, they've got Whiteside.
But they went
they've
into last
Pau
season
Gasol.
With him.
They added some guys.
This isn't a new thing for him. And they know what the chemistry is with
even Philly. Philly, you can say how good they got, but they lost Redick. They lost Jimmy Butler. So I think almost, and Milwaukee lost guys for all the guys they
I
added.
I mean, there's a few that didn't go through those changes that are contenders. Can we agree on that? That the changes were secondary changes and not the core stars?
Because
McCollum and Dame are still together, right? What we're talking about is the dynamic duos that are now the thing. A lot of these teams have new dynamic duos. And in Utah, they don't because it's, I mean, Conley adds to the mix, but you still have
Gobert and
so Donovan Mitchell. So I think that some teams have their core that they've added pieces to, and that's a little bit different than, hey, this is a brand new Lakers team. This is a brand new
teams that didn't go through changes, there's not one that because of it you say they're the clear cut one. That's
true.
What I'm saying.
All the teams
in that mix, you're looking at most of them that are going to be competing for a title have gone through a lot of change.
Yeah.
That they have to adjust to. And again, health is the number one factor.
Oh, definitely.
Everybody's got to remember that, and they know it better here than anywhere else with the Chris Paul hamstring. But you could be the best team on paper in the league. It's just like they said about the Astros. Astros on paper look fantastic. You still got to go get the job done.
Yep.
You got to win the series, play the games, do what you got to do. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it makes for a very exciting NBA season coming up because there is no super team. There is no clear cut.
Yeah.
There is no, if they get hurt, you got a shot. There's a lot of teams that feel like they got a shot.
There are a lot of teams. Yeah. And what's interesting is now in both conferences, there are a lot of teams.
For sure. So there's a little basketball for you along the way as well. We got a half hour to go on the show. We got a Skeeters giveaway for a 4-pack of tickets still coming up for a Sunday game. So you can stay tuned for a chance to win that. And then when we take you till 4, Blitz will take you till 7. And it's all going to be right here on the number one sports station in the city of Houston, Texas, ESPN 97.5. Come and go.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well,
Barry, Joel, Nick in studio. Here at the Gal Media Palatial Manor. As we roll through, reminder again, final half hour of the show, we're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Skeeters game. I was corrected, by the way, Barry, not on text message.
Oh.
I was corrected.
You mean one of our listeners didn't correct a word you
No,
said?
Instead, Aaron is blitzed, corrected me, that I should know that in Pennsylvania, it's not Lancaster, it's Lancaster.
Like that's the name of the...
That's the city.
Who cares?
Lancaster. How am I supposed to know that? And why don't people who want me to know that realize that Milwaukee, Wisconsin is a half a world away from Philadelphia? So because
How
everybody
far?
Assumes that everyone is up north should know that. That's east. We're north. And I didn't know.
How far is it from Pennsylvania, Wisconsin?
Thousands of miles. Half the country.
Is it that far?
Yeah.
Yeah, we say Lancaster.
Exactly.
This is Texas. If you don't like it, Aaron, leave it. If you don't like it, Aaron, get out.
The one thing I do appreciate about Barry.
Go back to where you come from. What?
You're always proud about saying a word wrong. You won't, like, I'm not backing down. I don't care. Not backing down. That's how we say it in Texas,
that's
bitch.
That's it. Lancaster. I went to Arkansas, and the city I was in was El Dorado.
Not El Dorado.
Correct. Guess what I called it the entire time?
El Dorado.
And then they tried to correct me on stage, and I was like, nope, I'm from Texas, y'all. We say El Dorado. I don't care what your city says or how you guys want to say it. And when I'm in L.A., I'm on Rodeo Drive. Don't care. From Texas.
This is
suck it.
Cadillac El Dorado.
That's right. Isn't the street in New York that is spelled Houston?
It's Houston.
Houston.
And they're all 8 million of them are idiots. Or however many are in there. And they're LA too. Dumbasses, Rodeo. Get out of here. It's Rodeo, it's Houston, it's El Dorado, it's Lancaster. Suck it. Get out of Texas if you don't like it.
Boy, I'd love to give you the list of those Wisconsin cities. Just take a shot at all of them.
I know. Wabasha.
Waukesha.
I wouldn't care either. Yeah, I said them all wrong. I don't care.
Don't even start. Okay. So this was just released, in case you're interested. That big brawl between the Pirates and the Reds. Suspensions have come out.
Yeah, buddy.
Pitcher for the Pirates, Keone Kila, the pitcher who threw intentionally at the batter, 10 games for intentionally throwing at the head of Derek Dietrich. Reds pitcher Amir Garrett, who went over to the dugout when he came off the mound, 8 games. I think they went light on him.
Yeah, that is,
relief pitcher, maybe he misses a couple of opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, he probably doesn't pitch all 8 of those anyways, right? It's like a starter getting a 5-game suspension.
He went one on the dugout, one against the entire Pirates team, and he only got...
Didn't care.
I mean, he only got 8 games. Pirates infield.
He got a game for every Pirate he punched, because he was getting busy there.
He didn't land anything either.
I don't know.
Best thing he did before he got 3 fingers in his nasal passages from a Pirate was knock the hat off of somebody. Yeah,
somebody gave him the bowling ball?
And then he got his hat knocked off, and then some Pirate guy just got like the whole claw in the face up
Who
the nose.
Who does that?
You should look at the video again.
Who fights like that?
Yeah, dude got a whole like 2.5 fingers into Garrett's nostrils.
Who fights? Who shoves their fingers in a grown man's nose?
A guy doesn't want to get suspended and doesn't want to be on the list I'm about to finish
reading. I didn't throw punches. I picked his nose.
That's right.
Let the record reflect. I picked his nose. That's weird. What a weird fighting style.
Pirate infielder Jose Osuna received a 5-game suspension for his aggressive and inappropriate actions. Reds pitcher Jarrett Hughes, 3 games for intentionally throwing a pitch at Starling Marte, although he did it correctly and hit him in the butt.
Right.
Pirates pitcher Kyle Crick, who was the target of Yasiel Puig when he came flying to the Pirates dugout, he got 3 games. And Cleveland Indians now, Reds outfielder then Yasiel Puig, who was then a member of the Reds, has received a 3-game suspension for his aggressive actions in the 9th inning. Reds manager David Bell... 6 games because he returned to the field after being ejected.
Did. That was the best part of it.
Yep. And Pirates manager Clint Hurdle, 2 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I thought Hurdle would get more. I understand Bell, but boy, if you could read Bell's lips, besides all the cuss words, he was right when he said, you're going to get someone killed. And he was saying it to Hurdle because he was allowing all of his pitchers to go headhunting.
True. He did, yeah.
And the only thing I was thinking about the Puig part of this is you're penalizing the Indians as well as the player. I would say that MLB, if they really want to get this right, maybe fine him for what it would cost for a 3-game suspension, but don't suspend him under the precedence of he was traded and you don't want to penalize the team that just acquired him when it didn't happen in their uniform.
Because you don't get you don't fine a team necessarily for an individual's action. You're fining the individual.
I get it.
And it costs you game money. So that's the point.
That's what I'm saying. Fine them the amount of games that you
would.
So you spend them for 3 games, then fine him what it would cost for him to be suspended for 3 games, but don't punish the Indians because he did it when he was on the Reds.
I mean, that's part of the problem. Sorry.
I don't like it.
The Indians, take your ball and go
home.
Which
side are you taking here, Nick? Neither.
I was pulling audio. I'm sorry.
We're talking about this Yasiel Puig thing, and he got suspended 3 games. But he's got to serve that suspension as a member of the Indians. The fight happened as a member of the Reds. I said, fine him the amount of money that it would have cost him if he was suspended for 3 games, but allow him to play because you're really penalizing a team that had nothing to do with the fight in the Indians, who traded for him.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Is there any similarities to the Gurriel situation when he didn't serve his suspension until the following season? Or is there? Do you feel like that's just a completely different dynamic?
I think that's different.
Well, yeah, because he went from one team to the other, not one season to the other right. on the same team.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, he
I don't
knew
know.
He was traded. That's the crazy thing. He knew he was traded when he left the dugout to go instigate another brawl or try to.
Yeah, because he was pulled.
He found out he was traded.
And he was then pulled.
Then he got into the original scuffle, left, but then came back for another round.
I don't think he was in the original. Taste. They said he was down in the clubhouse when it started.
When he found out.
And then he came flying
he
out.
He had to get his piece in. Yeah, like that's... I'm sorry, but you're suspending and fining. You're punishing him. You got to make better decisions. I don't have a problem with him doing it. I'm sure the Indians are like, whatever.
It's funny that they asked Terry Francona about it, too, and he's like, I'm sure we'll sit down and talk. But let me make this very clear. If he's with us and he does something like that, I got his back 100% of the time. Of course you do, Terry. But on the flip side, and that was a weird deal last night.
You got at least you know he's down for your teammates.
Right, which he should be.
Always.
Right?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, did you see that where Trevor Bauer showed up yesterday?
That was hilarious.
And he went to clean out his locker and do all these things while the Astros and Indians game was getting ready to go on. So when he got done, he had a backpack on. He walked on the concourse at the stadium and was staying for the game, and only a few people recognized him and hung out watching the game. And he's like, I mean, I've played with most of these guys my whole career, and you know now we're not playing together anymore, and it's weird. And then they asked him before he came up to walk on the concourse about the whole deal with the Indians and the ball throwing and everything like that, because Terry Francona basically was like not having it, and he was worried about the lasting effects going forward and everything like that. And he's like, well, I'm not on this team anymore, so I'm just not going to even. So, and Francona said, you know, there's some of these conversations you have with players that they're really heartfelt, and sometimes there's tears involved. And he goes, and sometimes there's not. And he didn't say anything more. It was like, man, you figure it out.
Somebody said, Barry, you're my hero. I am a Lancaster, and you're saying it the right way. Texas, love it or leave
it,
baby.
So you and I said it right.
Yes.
And I did read it right. So suck it, Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron is dumb. Change your Twitter.
Not Aaron is blitzed. Aaron is ditzed, because that's a ditzy comment.
Now, I was curious your thoughts on this, because you know we're such cunning linguists.
Are you speaking like you're from Kuntz?
Would you classify what they did as a brawl or a Donnybrook?
Really?
What?
It wasn't either.
And that's what somebody texted, goes, no one landed a single punch.
Seriously?
Well, if you got the old bowling ball grip into somebody's nose, that counts, right? Like that's an old wrestling move. Maybe that.
Was it the Yankees and the Orioles got the one where Strawberry and everybody were just, they were coming back for more and
more?
My
favorite all-time fight, besides Nolan Ryan pummeling Robin Ventura. My second favorite fight is when Pedro Martinez slung
Don Zimmer.
Don Zimmer to the ground. Like, dude,
that poor
he
old man
threw
was bouncing like a beach ball.
Ass man to the ground. Like, he ragdolled him.
Dude,
and at first I was like, oh, you just. And then I was like, you know what, Zimmer? You run out there with the young cats, you get slung around like a young cat.
He bounced him like a beach ball, yeah, and the old man looked like the Philly Fanatic, and he just took him and went.
And then he was
right
so stunned, like, I can't believe you slung my old ass down. You could have broke my hip. Bro, you can't rush into a fight if you're old like that. It's just not, don't. Sit on
go
the sidelines.
Go look at the Orioles-Yankees brawl.
If you've never seen that fight, you need to go check it.
I was going to say, go check the, you can check the Pedro Martinez and Don Zimmer deal, and then look at Yankees-Orioles brawl with Daryl Strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl Strawberry came back. You thought that Puig came out of the dugout late. Straw just wasn't going anywhere. He wanted some, and he wanted to keep getting it. So we can get to that. You guys can get to that during the break. So we've got one segment to go on the show. So with that being said.
I'm watching it right now. I swear. It's
which
the
one?
Greatest.
The Zimmer it's the and greatest. Pedro?
He shucked him like a defensive end and a right tackle. Just like, nope. Oh, that's so good. I love that so much.
Okay, so with that being said, let's get this second giveaway that I was
let's do it
out of the way.
Give it away now.
Skeeters tickets. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and your friends or family to the game this Sunday against the Lancaster Barnstormers. It's a Sunday fun day at Constellation Field. You get there early for a pregame catch on the field, which is very, very cool. Player autographs. Postgame kids run the bases, courtesy of Dr. Larry Caldwell. It is caller number 12, 713-780-3776. Caller number 12, 713-780-ESPN. You win a family four-pack to the Sugarland Skeeters at Constellation Field this Sunday. For tickets and game information, if you don't win, SugarlandSkeeters.com. blitznet.com. With that being said, we got a segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Patrick Creighton's in the house. Patrick Creighton going to be Fred Fowler's co-host today on The Blitz. So PC doing what? Quadruple duty?
Yeah, he's busy.
And then he's got late hits with him and Jason Braddock.
Are they a duo now?
I believe so. That's him, Jason Braddock. And then is it Abdul that's Arian Foster's brother?
Yes.
I have no idea.
He also was on the show, I believe.
Oh, really?
That's cool.
Yeah, I believe it's Abdul Foster.
Yep.
So they're doing late hits, but Patrick Creighton will be doing the Blitz. So there's all kinds of stuff.
All kinds. Let's get Rick's call in real quick. He wants to talk about Dobermans because we were talking about Dobermans yesterday. Rick, what is up, Rick?
Yes, sir. Oh, I just wanted to let you know, if you're thinking about getting a Doberman, you can't go wrong, man. They're great dogs. Great dogs.
Awesome. Thank you, Rick.
Anything else, Rick?
Believe me, it's not even an issue. It's really not.
What's not an issue?
The shedding?
The shedding, yeah. Yeah, the shedding of the hair, at the worst, it's you can barely notice it. So I don't know, you know, the person that said the shedding's bad, I haven't experienced that at all. And there's loyal and protective, they're just great dogs. So you'll love it if you get a Doberman. Mine's 4 years old. I've had him since he was a puppy.
Very good. I sold, Rick. I will, I'll do that.
I mean, look, some people are saying it sheds, some people saying it doesn't. He's saying it's not that bad.
Yeah,
so
I can see
obviously
that.
You're going to deal with a little bit of shedding.
I mean, look, we have cats. They shed, obviously.
I don't know if that's a deal breaker.
I mean, people
cats
ask
shed.
You, know,
unless you get a hairless cat.
Does have a bear shed in the woods?
Ugly as hell.
Have you ever seen a hairless cat?
They're ugly.
I'm going to ignore you. I'm not even going to acknowledge
how awful that was. Wasn't that Mr. Bigglesworth?
Yeah, a hairless cat is awful looking. It looks like a penis with a tail and four legs. It's the worst looking thing.
You spent a lot of time staring at
the cat. At my penis?
Well, I don't know.
Or a hairless cat?
Maybe eat both.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't go a different route when I said hairless cat.
Nope.
Somebody said, hey, Barry, looking at getting a Cane Corso dog, one of the smartest, loyal, and loving dogs you'll find. I looked it up. It's kind of got a pit bull look
to it.
It looks like it drools. The wife will never have that.
Yeah, because the automatic vacuumer is not picking up drool.
I'm not going to be able to get a dog that drools, so I'm still sticking with the Doberman. I saw this article that said right now, how bad do you think Dale feels? Dale. I'm Texas. Dale.
Right. Lancaster.
How bad do you think Dale feels that right now Ryan Fitzpatrick is the leader in the quarterback battle in Miami? That can't be a good feeling.
Nope.
Because if you're a Dolphins fan, if you're any football fan of any team, going into the season, it's 0-0. You're like, maybe we have a chance, but you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. So if he wins the quarterback job, you're like, if it's not, because at least with Josh Rosen, you might be like, well, maybe he figures it out. Maybe it's a second year.
Do you put Josh Rosen in front of an offensive line that just lost their offensive line coach and started training camp?
That's
like, before
touche.
They figure out what's going on and how to get it right,
yeah, he won.
Let Ryan Fitzpatrick take the lump so that Josh Rosen doesn't have to.
That could be it. And then to make matters worse, there was this article that you showed us about bold NFL training camp predictions for all 32 teams. And I'll give you the Texans one. But before we do that, the Miami Dolphins, not only are they going into the season Sands an offensive line coach because he got fired because he was too dumb to figure it out.
Yep.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is the leader in the clubhouse right now for the quarterback position. But here's the bold prediction by ESPN. At least five undrafted AAF players will make the Dolphins' final roster. Enjoy the number one pick, Miami. Like, what? That's God.
Brian Flores left the Patriots for that.
If I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm so pissed right now. It's just not looking good. So your bold predictions.
Is AAF stand for awful as, oh no.
Mm. Your bold prediction for the Houston Texans. I don't know how bold this is. Maybe. First round pick Titus Howard will open the season as the Texans starting left guard.
I think that's pretty accurate. That's your girl. Your girl's making that prediction, by the way.
Yeah, Sarah Barshop. But I would say it would be, it's a little more bold because it's the left guard.
It's a guard, period. He was drafted as a tackle.
Yeah, but you put him at left guard, and then you can slide him out to left tackle. He's on the left side. He's going to learn the NFL game on the left side, and then he can be your left tackle of the future. But any other offensive line, and this is a bold prediction, but as bad as the Texans' offensive line could be this year, how bold is it to state that he starts anywhere? I mean, you could have said right guard, right tackle, left tackle, left guard. I'd have been like, yeah, because you know why? At least he's young, and okay, we know what all these other guys are.
You saw the highlights of this. Andre Dillard, the guy taking one spot before the Texans that I've heard wasn't even their guy when it should have been, is going to start right away at left tackle for the Eagles, and he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah. That bothers me, too.
And we knew all along, because all Texans fans that had any kind of vested interest in this team were watching the draft going, oh, my God. A guy that was not going to be there when they're drafting is going to fall right in their lap. And instead, before it could fall in their lap, they pooped it. That's just,
yeah.
Boy.
Well, I just
at least Titus Howard might start at guard. Yay, me! Jeez.
I wouldn't want to be a Dolphins fan. It's going
to
be a long
season. What's worse? You're a Dolphins fan, but you know they're starting a rebuild so that they might be able to be good, or still dealing with all of this?
I mean, at least the Texans have
training camp that's fun?
No.
That everybody wants to be a part of? That I can't tell you who I'm talking to next, but they're here?
At least the Texans have some major players, some weapons. I mean, when you've got Watson, that the future looks good for this team. You've got, you know, a top five receiving core, a great defensive line. And linebackers. You got a secondary that's shaky.
Did you say a great offensive line?
I said defensive line.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't try.
I was like, well, wait a minute. Because I was about to say, let's say all you want about all these skill positions. I'm going to tell you still got to protect.
No, let's start that narrative.
Those guys.
I wonder if we came into work and just tried to sell a bill of goods that how good the Texans offensive line are. How many people be like, you know what? They might be right. You think we could fool anybody doing that? I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously.
Camelama Ding Dong, coming back to tell you.
Maybe that's going on over there.
The offensive line, A+. The defensive secondary, A-. It's early. They'll work it out.
We should try to do that, though.
God. Can you imagine how many people would be tuning in late going, what station? What is going on?
What we should do is just instigate or install a all positive week on the Usual Suspects. No negativity at all. No negativity from the listeners. No negativity.
We'd be off the air by Monday at 3:00.
But that means when we get here, you go, you know what? That offensive line is pretty darn good. Like, you can't say anything negative. So you just, even if something sucks, you got to be like, heck yeah, I'd play behind that offensive line. They're good. I think that would be funny because people would be like, what? And then our ratings would plummet. We'd lose all credibility. That would be pretty funny.
See, there you go. Oh, my God. And the Rick would just be saying it's lit.
Huh?
The Rick would just be saying it's lit. Every position group.
It's lit.
Straight fire. It's
litty. Somebody said, oh, my God, don't get a Doberman. They are way too stupid.
I never heard that.
They will run dead into traffic. My ex-girlfriend's mom bred them, and about 9 out of 10 sucked. What? I've never heard that about Dobermans.
I haven't either. But
they're
trained
police dogs.
My friend's is a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah, his Doberman is an absolute scaredy cat.
Really?
Was it a cat, a chicken, or a dog?
It was a dog that's big time a chicken. I saw it. That's why I ignored it. Bro, you got to ignore it sometimes.
No, you don't. Really, you just have to address the question.
Somebody said I own two cane Corsos, the ones I said earlier. Yeah. They look like they drool. Absolutely no drool on the smartest, most loving, loyal dogs I've ever seen. Yeah, but, and they look mean. I ain't going to lie.
That's part of that's half the battle.
Yeah.
If someone sees your house, even if they're scoping it out, they see a dog that looks mean as hell like that. Yeah. They messing with it.
Yeah. My wife said that growing up, they had a Doberman. It was really her dad's dog, and he was kind of an outside dog. But that every time it would rain, it would scare him, and he would fart. When he got scared, he would fart. I'm like, I want a dog that barks when they get scared, not farts. That's the wrong end, you dumbass.
Seriously.
Like, wrong end. Like, somebody's breaking, and he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, no, bark. Go get him. Sick him. He's like, oh, I got to poop. No, bad dog. It's awful. That worried me a little bit.
Ours actually bark.
Do they?
But ours, whenever they stretch,
they fart.
Oh my God! You know they do the paws together, and then they kind of arch their back and throw their butt in the air. It's like a freaking trumpet going off. They don't care. They don't even blink an eye.
I'm the same.
And you run around your living room naked.
When I get out of bed, I okay, I fart no matter what. Not even when I'm stretching. So
we don't even need to do it for the end of the show. We got enough noises to last us a week.
That's true.
Take us home, Barry!
Right. Hey, guys, I want to tell you about GetUpside. I love this app. I love this company. I love the cash back that I get, and you will too. If you're a listener out there and you haven't sent me a screenshot of your account, please do. I love to see how much you got. I've seen $55, $25 after 3 weeks, $400 in an account. And if you don't know what GetUpside is because you haven't been paying attention, it's an app that gets you cash back for stuff that you buy like gas and food. And if as long as you're doing it through the app, you're getting cash back. It's that simple. No catch, no gimmicks. All you have to do, and you're already doing this, right? You're going to fill up your car on the way home today. Just stop off using GetUpside. You pay with a debit or credit card. You upload your receipt. Easy peasy, you're getting cash back in your account. And you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back at over 500 gas stations around the city. You can get up to 35% cash back at restaurants like Wendy's and Popeye's and Burger King, Cyclone and Aya's. There's a Candelaria's Pizza in there. And they're adding restaurants all the time. There's over 100 that you can choose from. So, guys, if you love money and you love getting cash back, don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. And remember, put in my promo code Barry. You'll get an extra bump on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. So download GetUpside right now. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later. Guys, the Blitz is up next. Hang around. This is ESPN 97.5.